You know, I don't know. I thought my proposal was cool, but build an app just for that. That is a whole... Oh, you think I would have built an app if one existed?
I think so.
They exist now, and I can't build an app still. So, oh my goodness, that's awesome. I love to hear proposal stories because some of them are so creative, and then other ones are, you know, oh my gosh, I got so nervous I didn't know what to do, so I just whipped the ring out and said, okay, would you marry me? You know, it's like. Yeah. All right. So we are part four, the final part of Body, Soul, and Spirit: God's Design for Marriage Intimacy. And today we're going to do kind of a quick review. I won't spend a lot of time on it because I want to move through stuff. But we said in the very beginning of everything, and this was kind of where we've been. We had God's design, and then we talked about roadblocks to intimacy, removing those roadblocks and rebuilding bridges. And today we're going to kind of go through a general approach to really any of those areas, body, soul, or spirit. And we're going to do that out of Revelation chapter 2, which you might think is an odd place to talk about marriage, but we're going to do that. So here's where we started. Ephesians 5:31. We said that, you know, this is the one thing, and this is a theme that is repeated over and over again in Homefront, that God's design for our marriage is that we would become one. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then we said that that the process or the way that God does this is through this three-dimensional intimacy, right? The body, the soul, and the spirit. And we said that the body, that's the physical aspect of intimacy. And when we say the word intimacy, most people, you know, a lot of people will immediately go there. If we say intimacy in marriage, they're thinking, you know, that's the sex talk immediately. But so you have the body, then you have the soul, which we said is the life-on-life friendship aspect of our intimacy, and then at the core of us, our spiritual intimacy. And we said that there are certain things that should characterize our intimacy, and we said those are these ones here: joy, delight, and desire, purity, honor, and faithfulness, romance, and self-giving love. And it's always interesting to me that, so first of all, this is the ideal, and I said this when we talked about it, like this is not... you know, an opportunity for us to beat ourselves up because our intimacy is not always characterized by all these things. But it is an ideal, and that in Christ, right, Scripture holds out an ideal for us and says that in Christ in you, the hope of glory, you can live in the direction of that ideal with this endless, bottomless well of forgiveness that's ours in Christ and the power of His Spirit that lives in us, and et cetera. So that this is not about, hey, I'm going to whoop it up and I'm going to try harder, but this is Christ in you living towards the ideal. And the other thing that's cool about this is that these are the things that should characterize our intimate relationship with God Himself. All of these things are, you know, the marriage, as we've said multiple times, the marriage is really a foreshadowing or a pointing to, a metaphor, of the relationship between God and His people, between Christ and the church. And then we talked about different bridges that could be out in the body and the soul and the spirit, and then how do we go about repairing them. So if you want to, if any of those, you know, you missed any of those weeks, they're all online. You can go back and watch them. But this week what I want to do is look at Revelation chapter 2 and apply it to marriage. And you might think to yourself, what in the world does Revelation 2 have to do with marriage? It's Jesus writing letters to the church. But hopefully you've made the connection, right? That our marriages, again, are metaphors or living object lessons of the relationship between Jesus and His church. And so I think that what we see in Revelation 2, what we're going to look at today, has a direct application to the way that we live in marriage. So I'm just going to read through the verse from beginning to end first, and then we'll break it down. So here it is. Let me step aside so you guys can see it. Okay. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned, and this is the part we're going to focus on, you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, Repent and do the works you did at first. And then there comes this promise: to the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise, which is in the paradise of God. So who are these people in the church that he's writing to? I think what we see is, if we go back and you look at the verse in its context, this is a church that he's writing to, the bride of Christ, who are doctrinally sound and who are zealous for good doctrine and want to protect the church from false prophets and those kinds of things. So they are what you would call, if you looked at them today at a church, you'd be like, yep, I read through their doctrinal statement, boom, solid, really good, you know, the lordship of Christ, the deity of Christ, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of God, the Trinity, it all, right? You go through the list and like, boom, they got it together. They're running a tight ship. However, to them, Jesus said something's missing, and the things that is missing is love. And it's the love they had at first. So it's not something they never had. It's something they had and lost. So what's the parallel in our marriage? If this is an example of Jesus speaking to his bride, what is the parallel in our marriage? And I would say it's the couple that has, and many, many Christian couples would fall into this category, who theologically, doctrinally say, you know, they have what we would call a resolute mindset, that divorce is not an option, that marriage is forever, and no matter what comes, this is what, you know, we'll do everything we can to protect this, right? So doctrinally sound when it comes to marriage. But in some ways, over time, that relationship has grown cold in some area or gone off track, whether that's, you know, in the physical, in the body, in the soul, or in the spirit. So what I want to do, kind of as we have that picture in our heads, I want to break it down by verses. So first you have, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Now some people, some translations will say, or people will say that you've abandoned your first love, and so the natural, you know, sort of interpretation of that is, oh, they've abandoned Jesus, because Jesus was their first love. And I wouldn't say that that's not true, but it's not true in the way that you think it's true. They've abandoned the love that they had with their spouse, Jesus, and they've stopped doing the loving things that Jesus has called them to do, right? They've stopped the because he says, repent and do the works that you did at first. So there was something they were doing that was a reflection of the love that they had because of Jesus' love for them, if that makes sense. Okay, so that was what he had against them. You've abandoned the love that you had at first. And then he gives a solution. And he breaks down the solution like this. He says, first, remember. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent, and do. So remember, repent, and do. Now, I put return up there because, and I'll explain why in a second, but we remember, the idea is that we remember what were the things that we did, you know, where have we allowed the bridge to go out in one of these areas of intimacy in our marriage? What was it that we had that we lost? Or, looking at the ideal, what is it that we never had and we didn't realize that we should have had it, right? Maybe that bridge was out from the get-go and it's something that needs to be rebuilt. But this idea of stopping and considering and remembering what the ideal is and remembering where we were at one time in relation to where we are now as a couple. And then repent, right? And the idea of repenting is, you know, David says, I considered my ways, right? I considered my ways, and then I turned my feet. And so the idea of repenting is turning back to the thing that you've remembered. So if you've remembered, you know, when you remember the Lord and all of his goodness and his kindness and what he's calling you to, and you remember that, and then you turn your feet, what you're doing is you are repenting. You're turning in back into the direction of God. You're turning your back on something that is less than what God has for you, his ideal. And then you return. You know, Zechariah 1:3 says, return to me that I may return to you. And so it's not good enough just to say, okay, I remember the good old days. I remember the things that we did that were good. I remember when our physical relationship was good. Or I remember when our soul-to-soul friendship was really good. But there's this idea of you have to turn and then you have to return. You have to repent and then you have to return. And the end of that, of course, is this. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. What does that represent? Right? It's this idea of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord, right? In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There's this idea that when we are in God's will, whether that's for our marriage or anywhere else, that there is this promise of joy. There is this promise of, and I said joy, not happiness, right? We all know the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is, you know, something that comes and goes based on your circumstances, whereas joy is this inner sense of shalom, or peace with God, and peace with our spouse, and peace with our family and the world around us, etc. So there is this promise that when we do this, that Jesus will allow us to eat of the fruit of the tree of life in the paradise of God. And that's a beautiful picture. So I want you to hold that picture in your head. And then what I want to do is kind of tell you a story. I'll tell you our story because it's the story I know the best. and when I tell you these things, what I don't want, and I'm always reluctant, and we talk about this, Patricia and I talk about this a lot, like I don't want to give anybody the idea that, oh man, they really got it together. Boy, that couple, they've got it. You know, we are always going back and always tending the bridges and always reexamining ourselves. And then there's sometimes when we're not reexamining ourselves and all of a sudden we get, you know, 4 miles down the road and realize that a bridge is out and we didn't know it. So we are in exactly the same boat as everybody else in this room, probably at different points in that journey. So that's what I don't want you to hear. I want to give this example to you, maybe to give you some ideas, maybe some encouragement. So I want to start off talking about how do you do this? How do you remember, repent, return, and rejoice in the body? Let's see what pictures. I had some pictures. I'm going to embarrass her. I didn't tell her I was going to show this picture. There you go. Isn't that
a bridge right there?
There it is. That's how. And there, man. If you want to blow up a bridge, that's what you do. You put up an embarrassing picture of your bride on a big screen in front of everybody, and then you record it and you post it online later, so you can really spread it about.
Months from now.
So when we first got married, when we were, you know, in our dating years, but then when we first got married, pre-kids, we were like adventurous and we wanted to be out doing things physically together. We were very active outdoors, sort of like, you know, Joey and Emily talked about, just being outside and biking and hiking and doing all those kinds of things. And, you know, the other part of the physical was like, woo, you know? Look at it. My wife is like attacking me there. It was, you know, it was pretty hot. So I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm totally embarrassed to you. Dig it. Yeah, when you're in a hole, you're supposed to stop digging. Is that the idea? But what ended up happening over time, right? This is early marriage. What ended up happening is then kids came along. And work became more intense. And as we move, because, you know, your early marriage, most of the time, you don't have kids, you don't have, you know, in your professional career, you're sort of, generally speaking, most people are in sort of the beginning part of that, so there's not as much stress as when you're, you know, you've gotten further along. And so there's, you know, there's this freedom and energy of youth, et cetera. But then as time goes on and all those other things start to add on, and I'll go off that picture now for you just so you can, and I just made it worse. I'll get to those in a second. When, you know, you add in all those stressors, and for us, from about 10 years to 16 years, all of those things came to a head during that period. For a period of about 6 years, it coincided with the time that we were in Brazil. Because, you know, our kids were still young, There was still a lot of things to do with them. We'd moved to another country. We were living in another culture. We were starting up a ministry from scratch, and so that took up pretty much all of my time and energy focused on that 24/7, kind of like starting a business. And all of those things kind of came together to make us tired physically, to make us tired emotionally, to separate us, because she was, you know, Patricia was focused mostly on the kids. I was focused mostly on ministry, and, you know, it just, we things fell apart in the physical, side, in the body part of that intimacy. Things just started to fall apart. And so what did we do when we realized it? And again, we're obviously not really, you know, quick, at least I'm not, a quick study. It took 6 years before I said, oh my gosh, something's wrong. We probably need to do something. I think I realized something was wrong well before that, but I didn't know what to do. And I'll get to why in a second. But we were exhausted. So when, you know, what did we do? Well, we remembered, you know, oops. Nope. Go back. Okay, I can't go back that far. We remembered what it was, you know, what we had. We remembered the love that we had at first. We remembered the poems and the surprises and the date nights and we started, you know, and the hikes together and the getting time away without the children around and all those kinds of things. We started to remember those things and realize that, okay, we need to repent of taking our focus off of loving each other. We lost the love that we had at first physically. And everything suffered for that. The physical intimacy part of our relationship suffered too. There just wasn't there like it was in the early parts of our marriage. And so what did we do? We said, well, we need to go back. We need to repent. We need to return to the things that we did at first. And we started to rebuild those things. And it was little things. You know, it was little things like signing up for an Army 10-miler. We did a Tough Mudder together, which was kind of funny. You know, finding things that we'd enjoy doing together, whether that was gardening together or, you know, so physically we began to take care of ourselves better physically. You know, we decided to get in shape. It was very funny. We were talking about this yesterday. I look at pictures of myself during that 10 to 16 year period, and I was so skinny. It's like the skinniest I've ever been, and it wasn't because I was in good shape. It was because I was so stressed out that I wasn't eating well, and I just was, like, disappearing. And it was bad. So we got back to saying, okay, how do we focus on this? You know, in our fitness, in our eating, you know, how do we remember that, you know, Scripture tells us that we are not to deny one another, that physical intimacy between a husband and a wife is something that should be there. And if it's not there, that's a problem that needs to be worked on. So we focused on it, we returned, we repented. And I would say that today we're in a good place. I'd say today that we're rejoicing in that, in the work that went in to get back there. So that's on the physical side. How about on the soul? And they kind of they obviously all of these things. Remember, I said we have they go together. They're all connected to each other and they flow together. So here's a couple of good pictures for you. We
are in so much trouble.
I'm in so much trouble, I know. We were, like, when we first got married, we were each other's best friends. We didn't have any other best friends because we didn't have time to have other best friends. And so we just were goofy together. You know, we loved to goof off. This was an interpretive dance, by the way, in case you're wondering, that someone got a picture of. And this is how broke we were. Those plastic bags, it snowed. It snowed, and we couldn't afford to get a sled, so we thought maybe we could slide down the hill on hefty bags. And so we took the hefty bags and went out bagging, we called it. It not so well, not really. We just, yeah. Yeah. We tore through the bags, and it was not good. But we had a good laugh. And, you know, we used to go, we had something called the Love Bag, which, let me explain that. So there was a pizza place next to us, next to the little apartment that we had, that had, they would take the leftover pizza dough, and then they would cut up those, they would roll it up into like little, like almost like the crust, and then they would fry it, they would deep fry that, And then they would put it in a brown paper bag for you with a bunch of like powdered sugar. And then they would shake it up and then they would hand it to you. And it was like $2 for a bag full of this stuff. And so I would go to the pizza place and get the love bag because that was our date night because I couldn't afford the whole pizza. So we would go and get that. And then we would go home and we would watch Quantum Leap. Good show. I'm going to preach a message on Quantum Leap someday. It's
Class has no idea what that is.
I know. And I'm just going to leave it there. All y'all that don't know what that is, you can just go Google it. But again, just like in the physical side of things, in our friendship, you know, the busyness of life pushed us into these silos of, you know, caring for kids, caring for, you know, ministry, work, right? And then these things, you know, we kind of, our ships crossing in the night forced us into these silos. And, you know, began to damage the friendship that we had. And again, I think these things are attached to each other. Why did the physical side of things start to fall apart? Well, because our friendship wasn't really there. We weren't being goofy together. We weren't having fun and bagging and all those sorts of things together, right? When the wheels fall off in one of those areas of intimacy, it's going to affect other areas as well. So again, what did we do? We realized it, we remembered, and then we took some steps to repair it. You know, we had to make some decisions to recapture it. And, you know, that meant, again, like with the physical side, getting in shape, it meant finding those things that we could do together, remembering how goofy we had once been and getting back to it. And, you know, just starting to have fun together again and reconnect with each other and have long walks and talks, not necessarily just being silly, but start taking long walks and talks and asking each other, so, you know, how are you? What are your, you know, we knew what each other's dreams and stuff were, and then somehow or other we forgot to ask each other what those were at some point along the way. And so it's realizing it, remembering it, repenting of the space that you've allowed to grow up in between you, and then returning to the things that you did at first. But the last one in the spirit, I think, is really where our problems began when I talk about that 10 to 16 year period. Because when we moved, we left ministry here. I was the children's director here, and things were going great, and we had a wonderful community just like we have now. And, you know, we had great neighbors, and we had this whole community around us of faith, and our you know, we were serving together, we were in the Word together, all of those things were happening. And then we moved to Brazil, and we moved onto the mission field, and we just didn't have, you know, the church that we were working with, we didn't really connect well with on a spiritual level. I probably did a little bit more because I had a whole team of volunteers that I was working with and other pastors that I was working with. And so for me, there was a little bit more of that there. But for Patricia, there wasn't at all. And for us as a family and as a couple, there was no connection there. We didn't have anyone to go to. When things started going south, you know, we thought, well, who can we talk to? We didn't want to talk to the church that we were partnered with because, you know, here are your missionaries that just showed up to work with you and they're having marriage problems. Well, that's not good. And then we thought, well, I didn't want to reach back out. This was a mistake, but I didn't want to reach back out to RBC, to the missions, because I thought, well, they're going to want to pull us off the field and everything ministry-wise is going great. So we don't want to jeopardize that. And so we just kind of stayed in this place where we had no one to go to. We had gone a long, long time without prayer and time in the Word together as a couple. And I really do think that that was the root of everything else that started to go wrong with us. So when we realized it, what did we do? Well, I'll just put it up here. We prioritized it, first of all. We just sat down, and sometimes people say, well, you know, you can't just say things and then they'll be, well, if you believe that spending time in God's Word, spending time in community, intimacy with God, together as a couple, is a priority, is important, and that's what you believe, then making the declaration to say, yes, I am going to do this because I believe that this is a source of life for my marriage, And then you say, these other things, even the ones that are good things, are just going to have to be set aside. This is something that is non-negotiable. We cannot go without this spiritual intimacy in our marriage. We just can't. You say, oh, well, I don't have time. Oh, well, the kids get up really early. Oh, well, you know, this. Oh, we're so, you know. If that's what you believe, then it needs to be non-negotiable. And we had let it become a negotiable thing. And it damaged our marriage. And so that was the first thing. And we have been, since that time, and it's a huge blessing, you know, we have a little sign that hangs in the kitchen that says, you know, it's where we sit and have our morning coffee and spend time in the Word, and we'll read a, you know, sometimes we're reading a book in addition to whatever we're reading in the Word, and some time to pray together. And we have a little sign up there that says, Café y Amor, right? That's our coffee and love corner right there. And it's not just for the two of us. It's a place where we go, where we are together for coffee and love with us and with the Lord. And we had to make it a non-negotiable. Otherwise, it just wouldn't happen. Everything else would push it out. We found ways to minister together, where ministry at one time had become a dividing point for us. We found ways where we could minister together, whether that was premarital counseling or marriage counseling, leading missions trips together. We found ways that we could do that. It was the thing that once was a dividing factor became something that united us again. And this is my little shameless plug for the Family Life Mentor Ministry. For us, mentoring younger couples has been a huge blessing. I don't know if it's been a blessing to any of the younger couples at all. No idea. Not that I don't care. I hope it is. I hope it is. But I know it's been great for us. You know, premarital counseling is great for us. I mean, every time, you know, 5, 6, 7, sometimes 10 times in a year, we'll go through premarital counseling together. And it's a wonderful thing, a wonderful way to remember and repent and return so that you can rejoice. So, this bridge is the bridge that I proposed on, not without an app. Without an app, I didn't have an app. And would not have had one even if they existed. But I have a picture, not this one, but another picture of the same bridge. It's in Lakewood, New Jersey. And I keep the picture on the wall because it's a reminder of those bridges to intimacy. And if we're not careful bridge tenders, and even though we're in a good place, sometimes it's like when you're in a good place, you have to be even more attentive. If we're not careful bridge tenders, we're going to find ourselves down the road saying things like, you know, I've fallen out of love, if you've ever heard that one. Right? Okay, that doesn't actually happen, just so you know. Right? Or, you know, we've drifted apart. That does happen. So we need to be attentive bridge tenders. And with that, I would love to pray and then give you guys some time to talk about some of those. And I'll put the questions up. I didn't print them out today, but I have them up on the screen. So let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for your kindness to us in allowing us as married couples to participate in mirroring your relationship with us, with your people, through our marriage. I pray, God, that you would make each of us attentive, that you would help us to examine our ways, see where we have abandoned the love that we had at first, whether that's in our body, our soul, or our spirit, or all three. And that we would have the courage, Lord, to trust in you and in the power of the Spirit of Christ within us to turn our feet, to return and do the things we did at first, trusting that you will bring the results of that, Lord, that you will give us a season of rejoicing. And we'll thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here are our questions.